Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show this Friday morning with Delta bearing down on the coast. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
It's Brandon Porter.
Porter, what has been happening?
I've just been dodging hurricanes, man.
I know it. It's like every time we do shows.
I think Boudreaux is, too. That's why I'm in here again.
Oh, man. Where's Boudreaux going?
Away from Delta.
There's nothing to this thing for us.
I know.
Don't
go
east.
He's a Cajun, though. He's a raging Cajun.
Yeah, the raging Cajun. Johnny B, man. Oh, well. We're all good. It's starting to just now make its northerly turn, they're saying. You know, watching the eye and the way it's crawling, it's about 200 miles south of Lake Charles, and it's headed due north, 12 miles per hour, 120-mile-an-hour winds, a strong Cat 3. So those poor folks over there, they're just, man, what do you say? Hadn't even got recovered from the one in late August, Laura, whatever that one was called. I'm losing track of the names. But anyway, good having you in there, Brandon. I see your Stros poured the coals to the Oakland A's yesterday.
Yeah, they didn't even have the gall to put Mike Fiers out there during the series.
No, Mike Fiers was nowhere to be seen, the rat.
Oh, no, he was seen. He was seen in the bullpen, not pitching.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't want him on the field. That would have been sweet. I was driving in this morning. I had it on a station that the Astros game was on yesterday, and this guy was ripping us. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Said we're probably using buzzers and earpieces now to steal the signs. I mean, it's just – but we got labeled with that. We're just going to have to live with it. They said it happened. I don't know. Even if you know it's coming, you still got to hit it. Seriously. All right, they're making a bigger deal out of this than they did with the steroid era back with McGuire and Sosa and all that bunch.
Well, that's because the steroids
Bonds
were fun.
Were fun? Well, it was home run derby, wasn't it?
That's right.
But you still got to hit the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, those roids don't I don't know anything about roids, so I'm not going to say. But anyway. All right, well, let's roll on, man. We're fixing to go to the hammer first. Weather, that's a big topic this morning. Delta bearing down on the kind of upper Texas and southwest Louisiana coast this morning. Cat 3, and looks like today in Galveston you're going to have pretty much 100% chance of rain. Nothing heavy. These bands are, these outer bands right now that are hitting us, pretty light rain. But we're going to feel tropical storm conditions in Galveston. Rain and wind, high of 77, north winds at 25 to 35. That rain chance is 100%, and possibly they'll get over an inch of rain on the island tonight. Windy, some showers early, partly cloudy overnight. Northwest at 25 to 35 miles per hour. That rain chance tonight will be decreasing to about 30%. And then for tomorrow, it's going to start heating up behind this cane. Mainly sunny sky, high of 83, winds west at 10 to 15. You pull that west into the, into our direction here, and going to get some warmer temperatures. Looking at tides for today, they should run a little above normal, anywhere from 1 to 3 feet for our areas of the coast. But if you're interested in tides, we're on a high tide right now. and it was a 1.8. We'll have a low this afternoon at 3:57 p.m. It was an 0.4. 7:17 a.m. is sunrise, 6:55 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase is 62%. Looking at buoy data, the 22 nautical mile buoy east of Galveston is showing a northeast wind at 29, gusting to 36, 77 degree water, and that barometric pressure at that buoy is 29.73 inches and falling. So that barometer's dropping off the chart here. Eagle Point, northeast 21 to 25, and Morgan's Point, northeast at 16, gusting to 21. So keep an eye on it. We'll see, but it has started to make its northerly turn. That's what I was sweating out, because without that turn, we'd be right in the target area. All right, well, let's go to the hammer now. And who do you have on the line, Brandon? You got Glenn? Okay, my call screen's messed up. It's showing Sharky Marquez on there. All right, let's go to the hammer and see what's up. Hammer, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. Not much, buddy. Got a lot of water around us this morning.
Got a little water around your house? A little tide action,
yes,
working?
Sir. She's all bulled up, buddy. But the graph shows it going out from now till about 2:30 in the afternoon, and that's good news to us.
I don't see how it can go out with until that wind turns north, you know.
I know it. That thing's a little too close for comfort, sitting right here. Looking at it right out there.
Yep.
We're getting a 17 to 23 on my little old wind vane this morning. I've got 29.71 on our pressure. You just said something like 29.73, but that's low, boy. She's dropping too. Bottom's falling out there. I don't know what it was, but something got in the air this week. We actually caught some fish, man, which is good news.
Had some great
friends come down, some customers, and a couple of trips. That's all it takes to get you out of the living room, you know, and get out there amongst everybody. It's just kind of hit and miss right now. We're on Tuesday. I had Ciro, Carl, and Wayland come down and go with me. My customer, Ken Blanton, from years ago, had a few friends with him, and he wanted to send them. And he wasn't feeling that well. He said, no, I'm going to go ahead and pass. So these guys climbed on the boat. We'd go out there. I may not be going to heaven, Captain Mickey. They didn't tell me I had two ministers on the boat until I got back to the bank. And one of them leaned over and put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, son, he said, look, I've ministered for 45 years. There's nothing you're going to say that he said, you're just fine. You did great, man. You did great. Because, you know, I kind of and bellyache, you know, a little bellyache and gripe and fuss. And they call me
Fuss and Cuss.
Fuss and Cuss. They call me Captain Grumpy every once in a while, but anyway.
You're not a sailor for nothing.
You know, some things just kind of slide out. You don't mean it. But anyway, hey, look, luckily I was on my best behavior, man, because I got a pretty good grade, and they had a great time. And, man, all in all, we got over in one area, and we caught them. We had five specks, and I think the biggest one was about 19 inches. We had a couple of nice sand trout, first ones I've had in a while. We actually had one really nice mangrove snapper. And then we had 15 golden croakers, Captain Mickey, and these were bigger than your hand.
I saw that picture of those old croaks, man. I'd love to have a 48-quart igloo full of those puppies.
But, dude, when I got those little, as you would call them, potato chip fillets off of them, man, those guys' eyes were lit up. And I said,
hey, man,
these are all
that's the best. That's the best eating fish you had laying on that table.
I'm telling you, I got several phone calls after that, and it was all about, can we go to come get some of those croaker? But, you know, the way it is and the way they're using them for bait, you just don't run into them like that all the time anymore.
Booking croaker trips. Hey, people ought to be eating them instead of using them for bait, man. They're a hell of a fish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let them grow up
sir.
And eat them.
Man, those were beautiful. They're fighting little boogaroos, and it's firm meat. I'm telling you, those little boogaroos are just as
good. Hey, my grandma used to always say, hey, if croakers got up to 6 and 8 pounds, you'd have to use a surf rod to catch them.
Pound for pound, you're stronger than
boogers. They are tough little boogers.
So we sent them home with a pretty nice box. And anyway, I said my forgiving chapter. They left 2 ministers on the boat, but they were all retired from that.
Real quick, talking about ministers, I gave a trip to a gad years ago. I'm not going to name any names. I'm going to be nice about this. But I told him, I said, look, one of these guys coming, he's a Baptist preacher. Okay, got it covered, Captain, got it covered, got it covered, you know. So they go with them, and they caught the fool out of fish. They get in, and he cleans up their catch and everything, and they pay him and give him a tip and everything and said, you know, you're one of the best fishing guides we've ever been with, and we never caught fish like this, but you are one of the most foul-mouthed individuals I've ever been around. Oh, that was classic.
I actually expected a little lecture like that, but it was nothing like it. It was nothing like it. They had a great time, and I behaved myself. I got to where I watched my language a little bit out there and use other words and other dictations. But, hey, man, that water's all up under. I'm just about 4 inches over my slab underneath the house this morning, and I sure hope it starts dropping out. It's raining at the time.
Just light rain, though, huh?
Yes, sir. We spent the whole day yesterday, and my wife the day before, as I was working, picking up and putting up. It's just the way of a coastal life down here. Man, I'm just proud that we're happy as heck that we're only going to get the high tides out of it, or hopefully, knock on wood. You know, we're not out of the. It could always spur little twisters or water spouts and all that. Anything can come out of that stuff, man, when you've got the conditions that close to the Gulf
Coast.
Now
you got to prepare for it.
Yes, sir. Keep the head on a swivel. But on Wednesday, I had a great friend of mine come down. You know, I'm not going to call him a customer. I'm going to call him a great friend because he comes down and helps me with expenses and likes to fish. And I said, man, I ain't got anything. Let's go out and scout for a while. Well, come to find out, for just a buddy deal to go out, it was one of the best days I've had in months, man. We tried a couple spots off, and we moved from bay to bay. The tide just wasn't going good. But once that tide really started going out, the bite was on. We were moving from bay to bay, and man, we went everything from Bastrop back into marsh, and we went from here to there. Finally, we sat on a little old towhead and caught it just right, and we had 6 reds, Captain Mickey, to 28 and a half inches. He took his tag and put it on it, and he said, can I eat this 28-inch fish? I said, you know, if it's close enough to a slot for me, I've filleted them. Some of them, you know, get a little bigger than that. But, you know, and I don't know how it would be. But, no, I said it'd be fine. Anyway, he put his tag on it. We tied it on the tail. He filled it out. He punched all the numbers out. You know, there's a lot of things you can do, and people don't know. You got a tag on your license, but what to do with it. You know, it's got little markings on it for the date. It's got little markings for the month. You can scratch those things off. If you don't have a pen with you, just go ahead, scratch those things off. Fasten it with a piece of monofilament around the tail of that fish, and then as soon as you get in, you fill out the rest of the information on that. You know what I mean? At least it's partial, right? If you don't have a pen with you in the boat, that's the only reason I'm saying this. And we didn't have a pen with us nowhere around, none of our bags. So we
Oh, I thought you just notched it out.
Well, we notched it out. We didn't have anything but sign it. You can notch it out all you want. Anybody, you know, but I guess it's got your number on it. It would be registered to you.
Yeah, the number on the tag matches the number on the license. They can tell whose fish it is.
Yes, sir. But anyway, we went through the proper procedures and all that stuff, so we got it.
True.
And anyway, he can take that tag and go get traded in and get another one. But anyway, we're going to spend our day picking up, putting up, cleaning up, And you know what I mean? Just never ending along the coast. So the bait is still tough to find down here. The boat ramps, depending on the length of the boat, where you should launch. I would recommend the St. Louis Pass ramp this day and time. The Christmas Bay ramp, there's nothing left of the road. If you have a very long trailer and a very long truck, you're not going to get near to the end of that road. It's just about gone now at that boat ramp where the old size and old Ernie's Bay camp used to be, Dolores Bailey and all them. Yeah, that place is really rough. It's almost turned, and I don't want to say this, but it almost turned into a pointed plastic boat haven over there, man. All it is, you can get your truck in there for the kayakers. Anyway, yeah. Hey, man, it's all good down here. Good luck for everybody in the storm. My hearts go out to those people over to the east of us. Bless their hearts. I just lines and lines of traffic evacuating that area yesterday. And you can't blame them. Those people have been hit hard, man. We ain't had nothing compared to all that stuff they're going through. So, anyway, our hearts out to them, Captain Mickey.
All right, buddy. Throw out a number, Glenn.
Yes, sir. 713-208-0680 is my wife's number for all complaints and booking. And they can call me at 713-208-0683. Thanks, buddy. Y'all have a great day.
You got it. Hammer, take care, man. Good luck to you. All right, that's the Hammer. Down in the Tri-Bay area.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 419 in the Bayou City. All right. Let's head up to Fayette County Reservoir. Let's see what's going on with Mr. Bob Green up there this morning. Bob, good morning. What's up?
Oh, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, my friend. Thanks for asking. And you?
Well, I'm getting there. I've got about 3 weeks.
The road to recovery.
Yeah, I tell you. Good gosh.
I'm telling you.
I might have reconsidered this.
You know, I wish it would work out where you could get your surgery when you're young. Because, boy, when you get old, it takes so long to recover from injuries and surgery and everything else.
It sure seems like it, man. I mean, my life is, lift chair to walker to wheelchair to walker to lift chair.
Boy, what a nightmare. That's kind of hard to run a bass boat like that, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, I got my son to hook it up to a water hose and run it this afternoon when he gets here.
Yeah.
And he relied on everybody. I mean, but this little community here is, and I've had people mow the yards. I mean, get on the tractor, just wheel you, roll your wheelchair up to ramp the church, you know. just always clean people up here to help out with stuff. And they offer every day.
Yeah.
Maybe in Houston it wouldn't be like that. I don't know. Well, if you had friend, you know, family to help you out or something like that. But yeah, I was supposed to go back in 4 weeks, but called yesterday and got the appointment set up because it'll be 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4 weeks Wednesday, and we're supposed to be off of that thing between 4 and 6 weeks before you put any pressure on it. So I'm hoping when I go back up there, he says, okay, you can at least put some pressure on it, because I mean I'm getting no exercise whatsoever, but I haven't gained any weight from the weight I lost. So it's just getting old quick, and the fish are biting pretty good right now too, so that even makes it harder.
That does make it tough.
Yeah, I mean, was waiting for that old summer pattern to get over with and go back to the, you know, to that cooler weather, and our topwater bites picked up and has picked up for all these cool mornings we've had. Water temperatures, you know, it's down around 82, and some of, you know, some night mornings have even been a little cooler than that. And, you know, the buzz bait bite, the little slow, like a popar or some different names of them, but it's still a walk to bait type, deal.
Mm-hmm.
And grass, you know, I asked them about the grass the other day. I'm staying in contact with a couple people to check on things, and grass is in real good shape, but the coots have moved in, so you know they showed up about a week ago, I guess, a week and a half ago, so you know they'll start nailing that grass, and they'll eat it down so far, and the water's going down just a little bit. About 6 inches below the first board on the dock, so it's actually dropping a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in good shape. And the only thing about the report I don't like is that deep diving crankbait. And he said it's been working really good, but He said, "Boy, you got to crank that sucker down and do, you know, 10, 12 feet if you want to get bit with it." But
don't you guys like to use a slower retrieve reel when y'all chunk those?
Well, I don't really have one, but yeah, you would probably want a 4-to-1 or something like that.
Yeah, that's what Skeeter used to tell me. They used to love those old 4 and 5-to-1 ratio reels for cranking them crankbaits, the deep diving.
I probably ought to dig out one of my old, what's that gold reel we had? I've got two of them out there, and I haven't used them.
The old Calcutta.
Yeah, I've got the old Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
That may still be a 4 or 5-to-1.
Man, I can't remember what they were. I think you could get it in a 5-to-1 and a 6.1-to-1 or something like that back in the day.
I got a feeling this is a 5-to-1, but you know, versing a 7-to-1, it would feel some difference anyway.
I know a lot of the old ambassadors, you know, were 3-to-1, 4-to-1, and then 5-to-1, and that's what Skeeter used to use a lot of. When he was throwing crankbaits, the old Garcia ambassadors.
They dig in some of my, pull out some of them old red Abu Garcias.
Yeah. Some of those were 3-to-1.
Yeah, but you look and see if one of them would work.
Yeah.
I probably got a little old drawer out there full of them things. It probably still work. Just need to be cleaned up or redone if you can redo them. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, you can. I've got some old Bantam Mag 250 Shimano's and some old Daiwa PMA reels that are, you know, like 4 and 5-to-1. World War II tackle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they're still working around the lake. You know, they do have the tie-downs on the dock now, and they redid the rub rails and stuff like that. It looks really nice. There's still a lot going on around there as far as they're clearing out a lot of trees and stuff like that. So I guess they're going to just keep putting stuff up. But since the surgery, I haven't had a chance to go down there and even talk to the managers again to even try to set up any pictures or get new pictures of the stuff so I can add it to the website.
Right.
I've had several people calling because it's that time of year, and I'm having to just give trips away right now because I don't even know if I'm gonna be back in the saddle by the end of October or the first of November yet.
Well, you're gonna have to be careful. Do it right.
Oh gosh.
Well, it reminds me, you being all gimped up. I remember I tore my left knee up pretty big time in a tennis tournament. Back when I used to play them in '83, and right in the middle of the biggest trout run we'd ever seen.
Oh,
and man, I held off for about a week, and I was, you know, they immediately get you up walking on it, but it was still swelled up, looked like I had a cantaloupe hanging off my kneecap, and I couldn't take it any longer. I hadn't even got my stitches out yet, and I just jumped in the water and went wade fishing.
No.
That was in May of '83. No. We were catching, I mean, a 100-pound stringer was nothing. You know, back then it was 20 trout, and 5-pound average was just the norm. And wading, throwing mirror lures, and I just couldn't take it any longer. I said, I'm getting out. I got to wade. And that's how I rehabbed my knee, was wade fishing.
Well, you know what gets me is they do all this stuff, you know, hip replacement, knee replacement, they have you up the same day.
Yeah.
You know, where this deal here is for some reason is opposite, and I don't know if it's because they went into one side of your hip and took bone stuff out of the one hip to put it in the other hip. So I don't know if they're waiting for this concoction of stuff that they put in with these screws to harden or what. So, that's my understanding of this whole
thing. Well, got the double whammy then. You've got two big incisions.
They're not real big, but they sure are sore as heck.
And, I bet they are.
And it's been, a month now, and they're still swelling.
It's been a while.
It's fine. And trying to lay on your back is impossible. You got to have rails on the bed here, just try to get into it, rails get out,
man.
And a wheelchair handy. It's just I don't know. It might have been worth just enduring the pain and hitting the ground every once in a while. So,
man, that's tough on a guy like you, as active as you always are, you know.
To make you lay up like this. It's great to have people around want to help, but I just hate putting anybody out for.
I know, but hey, that's what good country folk do, man.
Well, they are that's for sure. I had my grandson came over to weed eat, goes out there, and I've got one of those, you know, crank every time on the first or second crank, and it won't start. That's one of the dry
pump the bug mower. That's I do with mine. I just keep pumping the bug till it gets so tight it's got to fire off, you know. Pull it on choke one time.
This guy came over, picked it up, and says, "Oh," he said, "I know you got company coming to build the yard this weekend, so I'll get it back to you tomorrow." So he came, picked it up, took it off to fix the lawnmower. So he'll be back.
But, you know, anyway, a friend of mine, I nicknamed him Tinker. He's always tinkering with stuff. He can fix anything. And my weed eater, I've had this Echo weed eater for, I know, 18 years or better.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and it's had a million miles on it, you know, and hours on it from, you know, weed eating 2 acres of property, all the trees I have and stuff. But long story short, he said, "Man, just order your new carburetor. You can go on Amazon Prime and you find one for it." Yeah. And it's about 12 or 15 bucks, and it's the whole kit, brand new carburetor and all, and you bolt it on there and it runs like a top. Yeah, you'll have it the next day. You can order it online and have it the next day. Fix
stick it
yourself.
On, fire it up.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably the next step. I'm tired of this. I'm ready to get up. I'm tired of watching my boat run on a water hose.
You know? That's all right. It'll come, buddy. It's just going to take time, but look how good you're going to be after you get all healed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just one of them things. But I tell you what, if I hadn't had that lift here, I don't know what I guess I'd have had to lift downstairs underneath the house. You know, but I'm able to, you know, go up and down on a lift on the back porch. I said, "Oh crap, I'm gonna have to build a you know, because this is a beach house." But said. Build a little room down there with an air conditioner and a heater in it and live down there so I can move around.
Yeah, you need to get you one of them chairs, go up the stairs like old Lady Deagle had in the Gremlins.
Oh,
God. Deagle, Deagle. Yeah, you know, you just sit on the rail and ride it up there.
Except,
my Uncle Jimmy had one of those at his beach house in Demijohn.
Oh, gosh. Well, that would be okay, except it'd be outside. I'd be in the rain. So at least the lift I've got here, I can get on it on the patio and go down under the house and then out to the car and all like that. But it's much easier to get around than it was 4 weeks ago.
You'll come around.
You know, I'm just kind of hobbling along a little bit and all. And that's because I can't put any weight on it. So
sure,
it'll get better, and I'll get back out there and, at least it'd be good fishing, you know, since it started down.
Yeah, nice, cool, a lot cooler weather, and you can't keep a good dog down, Bob. Well, I wish you the best on your recovery, and glad I got a hold of you this morning. I'm glad you're doing better. If somebody wants to call you about fishing later on in the year, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
Just call 281-460-9200. I think that's all I've got is time right now. So,
a lot of good fish talk.
if they catch any bass fish, I'm not going to see any pictures on it except for last year. But anyway, give us a holler. Y'all have a great morning and a great weekend coming up.
All right, Bob. Take care, my friend. See you, buddy.
I'll do it.
All right.
Thanks.
Later. All right, that's Bob Green up on Fayette County Reservoir.
Rise and shine, rise and shine. Hey, Hardy, wake up. Homer, get up and go wake up Slim over there. Up. Out of those sands in your bridges. Come on, Jim, get up. Thank God, get up. Let the sun catch you sleeping.
Mr. Neidlinger, what's for breakfast?
Stewed apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Burning daylight?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 437 in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Matagorda Way. Let's check in with Tommy Alexander. Tommy, what's up?
What's up, Mickey?
Not a lot. How you doing?
Well, I'm in a hotel room up here in Somerville. We got a bass tournament Saturday up on Lake Somerville.
Yeah, so all right.
We're bass fishing a little bit.
Got you.
Yep. Going to do a little more pre-fishing today. And then
right.
Tournament Saturday. And then I'll be headed back. And I'll be fishing Matagorda all next week. But hopefully that wind doesn't get too bad up here. I mean, they've been calling it for it to blow hard up here too. But I don't know.
I think you'd be all right up that way.
That's what I thought too, but at one point they were saying 30 miles an hour north up here.
Well, for tomorrow?
Yeah, for today.
For today, yeah. Today, we're going to be about 25 to 35 down here in the Galveston area, Chambers County and all that. Maybe some gust to 60.
Yeah.
You know, in the coastal counties. But it... Boy, that thing, right when I got here on the air, right before I went on air, it finally made its a little bit of a northerly turn like they've been predicting all along.
Yeah.
But it sure was getting me nervous. That thing was 200 miles out and coming straight at Galveston.
And it's like that last one got me nervous. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we're relying on what they, for them to say it's going to turn. Well, how often are they wrong? A lot, so...
Yeah, and it's a strong Cat 3 right now. It's moving north at 12. It's finally due north moving that way. So it looks like, man, it's going to hit, you know, around the Cameron area, maybe a little bit east of that, which could bring a little relief to Lake Charles and our buddies over at Hackberry and, you know, all that Calcasieu Parish area where I have so many friends over there. But we'll see.
Man, we'll just see. Louisiana's had a rough go.
Well, they have, hadn't they?
Man. God. I mean, the track of this storm was almost just like the last track.
Yeah. I mean,
real close.
Really is. So there you have it. Lightning does strike twice in the same place.
Yeah, guess so. Well, tides are high in Matagorda, and everybody's catching lots of redfish and flounder.
Yeah.
I did. There was people caught trout yesterday. I talked to some people that did drift and did drift and catch trout the last 2 days. But I know the beginning of the week it was a redfish flounder deal,
right?
And everybody's been catching reds for a while now, basically since that last storm.
Oh yeah, redfish have been through the roof with all these storms this year and high water. It's been crazy.
Through the roof. I mean, it's crazy. You can go to any shoreline, any grass line, and catch a redfish. Just about.
Amazing.
Or flounder. There's flounder. Like, seems like every little point, or you find any kind of little drain, and there's a flounder there.
Yeah, that's just the normal pattern for October. You know, drains any kind of shallow undulation close to deep water access, they're going to be there.
I mean,
trout too, you know, and that's the way my trout bite's been right now, close to deep water access, shallow areas.
In flounder, they just showed up. Like I said, I know Bink caught a little bit of everything yesterday. He had a couple flounder, reds, trout, just a mixture of everything. And
right.
I know my other buddy, Kendall, he caught a tarpon and a snook yesterday.
Wow. In the bay?
And not a big tarpon, but he did catch a tarpon.
No, but it's still a tarpon. That's awesome.
Yeah, he caught a tarpon and a snook, both.
Snook, too. Man, that's two, rare quality fish for, our area.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know, So that was kind of cool. But fishing's still been good. I mean, really all year long, can't complain about the fishing. Might complain a lot about a lot of things, but our fishing's been pretty steady.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
I'm up here trying to chase a little green fish.
Well, duty calls. You just can't get enough of it, man. You can't. You're something else. Can't be satisfied with one kind of fishing. You got to do it all.
I love fishing, period, I guess.
I know you do.
And I like these green fish. I love bass fishing, so.
Yeah, bass fishing, I love it, too. I wish I lived closer to, you know, Rayburn and those kind of areas I like to fish.
I don't know. I love
if this storm pattern keeps up, I may be moving to the Piney Woods one of these days.
Yeah, get away from it.
Had enough, man.
I'm one of them. We bound to, you know, we've been lucky, but, man, I don't know.
Well, surely this is, we got to be out of the woods after this one.
Well, yeah, this year we should be done.
Hopefully.
I'm thinking this should be it at this year. Too many little fronts start to show up, you know. I mean, it's about mid-October, so.
We hadn't had this many named storms since 1912.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I knew we had a bunch, but I didn't know
new
that.
New record.
New records.
Yep.
Those aren't good records.
No. But it's a pattern we're in right now. It's just one of those weather cycles, and kind of like our fish cycles and everything else. It is what it is.
That's exactly right. It is what it is. Keep it going. I don't know. You been catching them over there? You been fishing much?
I fished this week. Yeah, it's still a pencil fest, man. God, what I'd give to, man, stand on a shoreline somewhere and catch 4 to 7s every cast again.
Yeah.
We take it for granted. Boy, when it's gone, it's gone. I mean, how many pencils can a man reel in his lifetime to be satisfied?
You'd think eventually they'd get bigger. I mean.
Well, they do, but they as soon as they become legal game, they go in everybody's ice chest.
Yeah.
And, if you get through the system, don't get me wrong, we're looking at, but we say it every year, man, next year is going to be unbelievable. Look at all these little fish. And then we say the same thing every year. But we're just having to totally rebound completely here in Galveston. I mean, our whole fishery is just having to rebuild. And I don't care what anybody says. We were, me and a couple other guys talking about it here on the show took a lot of flack for fish populations we were talking about and these 5 fish limits we needed. But boy, when Ike came along, that was the end all be all right there. I mean, that flush right there, whatever quality fish we had, dude, it flushed them out. And it's just going to take time to rebuild and come back. Kind of reminds me of the freezes we had back in that one in 90.
Yeah. Got to rebuild it.
That's it. Well, Tommy, I got to run to Port Isabel now, but if somebody wants to call you about coming down to Matagorda, and oh, by the way, good luck to you in that tournament this weekend. Hope the weather cooperates for you, but throw them out a number.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, if somebody wants, I still got a few days open in October, and I got several in November booking for that. So give me a call. Look me up, Captain Tommy Alexander, or just give me a call, 979-709-8242.
All right, Tommy. Well, good luck, and hope the weather holds for you. You there? He's gone. All right. Well, that was Captain Tommy Alexander up pre-fishing for a tournament at Lake Somerville. All right, let's go down to deep South Texas now, about as far as you can go. Go to the end of the world and hang a left. Let's go down to South Padre and hook up with Captain Brian Barrera this morning. Brian, good morning. How are you, bud?
Morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Just hanging out, actually. Woke up for the phone call today. I got canceled on my trip because the storm surge is kind of happening. You know, my people were a little worried about it, so they asked if we could reschedule. So I'll enjoy a day off today. I'll take it, much needed.
Good for you.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I don't feel like going to get beat up in that wind anyway. It's going to be, you know, 30 plus mile an hour winds from what I remember seeing. But who knows? I'll take a day off and enjoy it. How are you doing?
I can't be better. It's all good. I'm just watching the storm, and it finally made its northerly turn about 3:30 or 4 this morning, so that's good news for us.
Right, for all of us.
Yeah, but it's bad news for our friends over to the east here, so.
Yeah, well, God bless those people.
I'm telling you.
Hopefully it all works out better for them. Poor Louisiana just been getting smashed.
That's pitiful.
Yep. But, no, we're looking forward to some good fishing in the upcoming days, you know, because once that storm passes us up, it's going to calm down really good for us. And so we're going to have some real nice weather for, well, you know, I mean, the Weather Channel says it's going to be really nice weather for the next, like, week after the storm, you know, but you can never tell. Last time it said it was going to be really nice, and it ended up being really nice for, like, 1 or 2 days, and that was it.
Oh, yeah. It's just a forecast.
But, yeah, but it's a good forecast now. It's making me feel good, at least. So we'll see. I got to fish every single day next week, so, you know, I got to fish a lot coming up. So hopefully we get some good weather. You know, the mangrove snapper fishing has been freaking pretty epic lately. We've been out there to school.
Yeah, I didn't know those things that crush topwaters like they do. That was how big was one with that top water in his mouth head first that I saw a picture of?
That one was maybe that one was probably just under 5 pounds. Probably 4 3/4 pounds, which is really nice when, you know, 20-plus inch fish.
Yeah.
And I mean, man, those things pull hard, you know. Something that eats aggressively and pulls hard is that fish right there, you know. And man, they're good. They eat, you know, once you get this time of year. They get pretty aggressive. You get the mullet run kind of going, so there's a lot of finger mullet in the bay system, and they start flowing into the ship channel where I do a lot of my fishing for these things, ship channel and the boat yards and stuff like that. And, you know, they get really aggressive on those topwaters, you know, along seawalls. And when you get these first little, I don't know if we talked about it last week or not, I don't think so, but when you get these first little cool weather spurts of the year, first couple cold fronts, you know, things start to get different, and the fishing gets really, really good. You know, a lot of fish get aggressive. But the thing about it that I like to do this time of year, when you get the first little cold, chilly spurts, you know, I like to fish a lot of the metal objects around. You know, I start fishing seawalls, I start fishing barges, things like that, because, you know, those seawalls are halfway out of the water and halfway in. So, you know, that it stays warm, that metal seawall stays warm, and that heat, you know, transfers into the water, and that little area will be a little bit warmer. So when you get these first little cold spurts in, the fish will kind of gather up there. And what a deal is with these seawalls that I fish a lot of this time of year is that they're all rusted out. You know, I mean, they look rusty on the top, so you can imagine beneath them. And what I've learned over the years from even seeing them on the crystal clear days, or having friends who are divers who have spoken to me about seawalls, is that they rust out underneath, and it turns into a hole in there. And these big mangrove snapper, these Kubera snapper, these, you know, good-sized snook will get inside of those holes, you know. And you run your topwater or your live mullet or whatever the heck you're doing along the seawall. And, man, they come out, and they smash it on the way back in, you know. So it's a ferocious topwater explosion. And boy, those mangrove snapper, when they, I don't care what kind of reel you got, you know, but they're going to go a good direction in whichever way they want to go whenever they hit. You know, they fight good, those big ones. It's like a bass on steroids, you know.
Yeah.
it turns into some of the funnest fishing of the year for me. The topwater fishing is just excellent. We're not catching a bunch of slob 35-inch snook on it or nothing like that, but we're catching 24 to 30-inch snook on the top waters, and then, you know, we're catching the occasional big mangrove snapper, and then the occasional, you know, 15 to 20-pound jack, which is still fun because it's not one of those hour jacks or whatever you got to fight for 30 minutes to an hour long. You know, it's just one that you get an awesome topwater explosion, you real good fight for 15 minutes, and you're done. You know, it's just a really good time of the year to throw topwaters in there. You can throw them all the way until 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon because of the good berm that's in there.
Wow.
Blocks a lot of the wind out and stuff. You know, so it could be pretty cool. I start trying to target a lot of the mangrove snapper this time of year. The big ones start to chew a lot better. I can find them on the side scan with the hummingbird. Once you find them like that, it's usually, you know, they'll eat a live shrimp, you know, but they can be a little picky towards lures. But the best lure I've noticed that they eat is a topwater or like a suspending twitch bait or something like that, a little finger mullet imitation. But if you buy a quarter to a shrimp and throw a couple of handfuls out there, they'll get fired up too.
Yeah, chum them up. Get them fired off, man.
Yes, sir. And I tell you what, the mangrove snapper are my favorite fish in the bay. I like them better than the flounder. And, you know, I mean, flounder's an awesome fish, too. I like them both. But those are my two favorite eaters. And that mangrove snapper is so darn good. And I convinced so many people not to kill and eat a snook because right around the corner when we're fishing that ship channel, we got a bunch of mangrove snapper there with no size limit, no bag limit, you know. So
good table fare, too. I noticed I just saw high wave warnings for your part of the coast down there, 10 to 14-foot wave. Surf is up. That'll be some people surfing down there today.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is me and my surfer friends. We always talk about how we'll never see each other. We'll never see each other at the jetties because I go to the jetties when it's super calm and when they hate it. And they go to the jetties when it's super rough, and I hate to go. So it's like we split it. We split it perfectly. Like
you need to take up surfing, man.
The hell no.
You're not into that.
I used to boogie board as a kid, man. And I took some major waves and got dumped a few times. But I like to go to the beach, and it's fun.
You
got to
be a good
like
swimmer.
That.
I mean, if you can't swim good, you better not surf.
I'm a good swimmer, but. Yeah,
we used to drive all the way down there back in the late 60s, early 70s, drive all the way. You know, we'd leave and drive all night and come down to Port Isabel, get there right when the sun's coming up, and everybody would drop off and surf. That was the place to go back
in the day.
There's
still a lot of people doing it. I've been seeing videos and stuff of friends that are fishing just in the, not even on the beach, but they're fishing right now in the inlet. You know, in between the jetties. Just huge waves there. See, and then today's supposed to be crazy. So I saw some reports of like 15-foot waves. So,
well, they're probably, you know, right.
I feel like I'm a crazy fisherman. So I meet some of these surfer dudes paddling out there in 15-foot waves, and I'm like, oh, okay.
The Gulf is swollen up.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Old Mother Gulf's angry this morning. Well, cool. Well, Brian, if somebody wants to come down and hook up with you, you got a lot of good fishing ahead of you this year. Give them some info so they can get a hold of you and come on down and have a good time, man. Do it up.
Yes, sir. I love it. It's only getting better from here. You know, through the cooler months, the fishing's going to get better. I don't have anything available until the first week of November, but if anybody wants to start booking me up and hit me up for an afternoon trip or the November fishing, you can give me a call, area code 956-755-9413, or you can check out my website, inshorefishingsouthpadre.com.
Cool. All right, Brian. Well, it's always a pleasure, and hang in there. It's only going to get better and better.
Yes, sir. We're doing it. I think we finally made it.
We made it.
We finally made it past the warm weather.
That's it, buddy. All right, well, you have a good one, my friend.
Yep.
All right, thank you. All right, that's Captain Brian Barrera down in South Padre, Port Isabel area.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.